the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand, writes John, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. And as I've indicated, I'd like to take the closing words of this sixth verse as my text for tonight. There should be time no longer. There should be time no longer. Man, while he is a very highly intelligent and resourceful creature, and there's no doubt that he is also, sadly, a highly wasteful and destructive creature. One only has to look at the rate we are polluting our environment to see how true this is. We continue to pour poisons into the air and seas as if there was no limit to the amount of these poisonous substances the sea and the air and the environment can take. We also continue to draw upon all the earth's resources as though they had no limit, as though these things were infinite instead of finite. However, another area where man's wasteful tendencies are clearly seen is in his management of time. This is another commodity which man views as being without limit, as being infinite. This is clearly seen in the fact that men press on with all kinds of scientific research. They're trying to put somebody on Mars, but whoever would want to live on Mars is more than I know, for it's not very conducive to life. And to tell me anybody to put on Mars will have to live in some kind of a concoction made by man. They won't be able to breathe the air, for there's no oxygen there for them to breathe, and it'll be a totally miserable existence. No water, they'd have to produce their own food, they'd have to produce their own water, and so on and so forth. But still, they want to land on Mars. I was going to say good luck to them, but that's not good theology. And they want to use that as a stepping stone to go to the far reaches of the universe. And they reckon they'll do it in time. In time, you see. They think they've all the time in the world to do these things. They think that man's going to go on forever, exploring the universe. Time is infinite, they imagine. And of course, this is clearly seen also in our everyday language, isn't it? Do we not hear people say, have we not said or said ourselves, ach, we've all the time in the world. And there's plenty of time. Aren't these expressions we hear constantly and continually in our everyday conversations and language? And then this is also seen, our attitude towards time is also seen in our use of time. We often talk about taking up something to pass the time. And we talk about putting in an hour or two. Yeah. As if we had all the time in the world. And so we invent all these pastimes to put in our time. All manner of inventions have been discovered which are nothing more than time wasters. Time wasters. How much time is wasted sitting in front of a television box? That's one of the greatest time wasters that there is in the face of the earth. time wasters. Now, it has its use. I'm not speaking against technology. I have one, and I use it as I see fit to suit my own purposes, but some folk just plump down in front of the television and spend whole evenings in front of it, and some who are retired spend whole days in front of it, wasting their time. Computers, that's another good time waster as well. Now, I know a wee bit about that. I know when I get on my computer, time flies. The wife's calling me for my dinner or for my tea. Is it that time already? But thankfully, I haven't been footing about and fiddling and playing with the computer. I've been doing some work on it. But we've invented all manner of things to consume time, to pass the time, to use up the time, as if there was no limit to time. Oh, we're going to be here forever. We've all the time in the world. We're going to live forever. So some people, if they don't say that, that's what they think. I heard of a dear gentleman who was always in the habit of changing his car. Changing to a new car, I think it was every 2 or 3 years. And he had got into his 90s. And he changed his car and he says, I think I'll make this the last one. Yeah. So he wasn't thinking of departing anyway soon. So we think that we have unlimited time. If we don't say that, we don't put it in that way, nevertheless we act and behave as if we had infinite time. But my dear friends, there could be nothing further from the truth. For there's nothing more precious and more limited than time. Our text for this evening clearly reveals that there's coming a time, there's coming a moment in this world's history when time will be no more. When God will call time up. When the mighty angel will descend from heaven with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, and with his hand raised to heaven, he'll swear by Almighty God that there should be time no longer, no longer delay. No longer delay. Time is up. The dispensation is up. Time for the world is up. The world as we know it, well, time is up for it. Time will have run out. And there'll be no longer delay. And what is true of the world at large, of course, is true of us all individually. One day, God's going to say to us, time up. You're allotted time on this earth. It's up. It's over. It's finished. It's ended. No more time. It's the end of your time on earth. And people go on living without God, without thought of God, without thought of eternity, as if that day was not going to come. But friends, that day is going to come sooner or later. You might get your 70 or 80 years, you might get your 40 years, 70 or 80 years. You might even go beyond that. You may hit the 100. Remember my grandson, I had a birthday, and he asked me, Granda, did you get your letter from the Queen yet? Well, I have a wee while to go yet, if God spurs me, but not that long. But anyway, how many 100-year-olds do you know? Oh, you may know one or two, but they're few. And what's 100 years? It's like a mist that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. It passes by as swift as a weaver's shuttle, the Bible says. Swifter than the fast ships. It goes by very quickly. I remember as a young minister going to visit a dear lady in my first church in Kilkeel. I forget exactly what age she was, but she was well into her 90s. I think she was 96. And I said to her, "How old are you now, dear?" 97. She says, "Oh, I'm not indeed, I'm only 96. Yeah. And I asked her about her life. Did it seem long? She said, "No, it's like yesterday." She said, her mind was as clear as a bell. I says, "I suppose you remember the first car in the area." She says, "The first car?" She says, "I remember the first bicycle." And she says, "I'll tell you better than that." She says, "I remember our minister used to come to see us on a pony. But it just went by like that. Life at best is very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf, it's like the binding of a sheaf. It will soon pass, and one day God will call time." A dear friend of mine was talking to a man that worked for him for some 17 or 18 years, and the man's wife died. And so my friend said, "Well, I'll go to the funeral," and he phoned them up. He says, I'll see you at the funeral, God willing, on the Tuesday." So he and his wife went to the funeral on Tuesday, and the church was shut up. There was no funeral. And a man in the church, I don't know what was the caretaker or what it was, came to them and said, "The funeral's not till tomorrow. For the lady's husband died last night, and they're both being buried tomorrow." My friend said, "I was talking to him on the phone, arranging to go to see his wife's funeral. And there the two of them were being buried together." He didn't know when he's talking on the phone that his time was almost up. God called time. Reminds me of the rich farmer. Remember, the Bible tells us about the rich farmer whose land brought forth plentifully. He had so much goods, he knew where to store all his goods. So he says, "I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build bigger ones, and I'll store up all my goods, and I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" And God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Oh, friend, listen, time is very limited, very limited. And you and I, we're running out of time. Seems like yesterday that I was only a student in the college. Just like yesterday. Here I am. I'm almost redundant. Just coming in to help out now and again. Where's it gone? I don't know. It's gone very quickly. And I'm sure you can bear testimony to that. Time passes very quickly. And dear friends, when time runs out for us, all things which concern us in this world, in this life, in this state, will be over and over forever. Let me say that again. When time runs out for us, all things which concern us in this world, all things which concern us in this life, all things which concern us in this state, will be over and over forever. Over forever. All earthly comforts, earthly amusements, earthly employments, earthly attainments, earthly griefs, earthly sorrows, earthly joys, earthly pleasures, these are all but temporary and transient. When our time on earth is up, these things will be all over and over forever. We're not going to come back to them, you know. Therefore, dear friend, do not make such things your chief joy or your chief hope or your chief pursuit. Don't lay great store by them. It never ceases to amaze me to watch and hear of and know of men of the world. Now, don't misunderstand this. I do believe that we should be industrious. We should work as and we should seek to accumulate, do good with the money or the whatever, the things we accumulate. I'm not speaking against that. But it amazes me to see so many making fortunes that they cannot possibly spend in 100 lifetimes, and still living to make more, as if they had all eternity to spend their money. Oh, friends, these things are over. Building bigger and better and more glorious dwelling places and all the rest of it, as if they were going to live here forever. No. When God calls time, you'll say farewell to all these things forever. This thought can be a comfort, of course, to the saints, as well as a warning to them. There is certainly a warning to the saints not to waste your time and to use your time profitably and to redeem the time. But they also can be a comfort to us, because they tell us that our sufferings and our sorrows and our afflictions in this world are not forever. One day they'll be over. One day God will say, well, that's enough. You've suffered enough. You've suffered long enough. Now come home to me. Come up to glory and leave behind your suffering and your sorrow and all the troubles and trials that you've had in this life. They're over. That's a comforting thought. But it's also a warning, especially to the unconverted. Oh, dear sir, do not live your life for this world. By all means, work, be industrious. I'm not saying anything about that. Thank God for businessmen who are providing employment for others and enabling them to maintain their families. No, that's all good. Thank God for men like that. But don't live for those things, because it'll soon be over. Christian, all opportunities of doing good to our fellow man will be over. There'll be no more time to preach the word. Someday I'll preach my last sermon. Maybe this is it. I don't know. I sort of hope not. I want to go on for a wee while yet. As my younger sister said, she's the youngest, and she's in her 60s. She says, Billy, I'm not afraid of dying. I want to go to heaven. It's the shifting I don't like. The moving house. Yeah. But who knows? We might have an opportunity to plead with souls to come to Christ for the last time tonight. Time will run out. There'll be no more praying. No more pleading with our loved ones. No more influencing them for the gospel and for Christ. No more opportunity to win souls. Opportunity to do good in this world will be over. Finished. What is left undone will be undone for all eternity. All opportunity, my unsaved friend, of getting right with God will be over when that happens. There'll be no time left. No time for that all-important change of heart and life known as the new birth to take place. Now, the new birth takes place in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. One moment we're dead in sin, and by the grace of God, the next moment we're alive in Christ. But friend, when time's up, there'll not even be a moment for that to happen. Time's up, finished. That means, doesn't mean, well, time up. Sometimes when I'm supervising the exams in the college, I say, right, time's up. Put your pens down. And some of them are, hang on for a minute or two before they actually put their pen down. And I give them that minute or two. But when God says time up, there'll not be a minute or two. It means time up, finished, over. No time, even for the experience of the new birth. If when time runs out for us, we are unregenerate, then unregenerate we will remain. Be no more time for repentance. Too late. No more time for the exercise of faith in Jesus, which is necessary to the salvation of the soul. No more time for these things. Time up. Time over. No longer delay. No more time. No more time for the securing of a good hope for eternity. While there is life and time, there is hope. But when these run out for us, there's no opportunity of securing a good hope for heaven. It's all over. No more time for preparation for the judgment. How terrible to stand before God unprepared, ushered into the presence of Almighty God in the blink of an eye. Time runs out. You're brought to stand before the judge of all the earth, unprepared. Time up. Oh, you know, God could say to some of us, or one of us, or all of us tonight, time up. Are you ready? Are you ready? When the Lord God Almighty says, time up. Time up. When time runs out, of course, eternity begins. It's difficult, indeed impossible, for us to fully grasp, to fully understand or comprehend the concept of eternity, what it is and what it involves. Eternity is beyond our comprehension. But for our purposes tonight, we will take the term eternity in the sense timeless, endless. Time will be over, and you'll be ushered into eternity. That timeless period that goes on and on and on and on and knows no end. For the saint, of course, this will be a season of endless joy and bliss. For the believer will be forever with the Lord. And that'll be a wonderful time. Eternity with Jesus. Oh, as we cannot comprehend or grasp the notion of eternity, what eternity is. It's like space. Have you ever tried to comprehend space, the unlimited reaches of space? When you go beyond the starry heavens, what's beyond that? Nothing. What's beyond that? Nothing. It goes on and on and on forever. There's no limit to it. And so once we finish with this world, we go on into that eternity to which there's no limit, no end. And the saint, when time is up here, enters into that time of endless bliss with God, which is beyond our present comprehension. If we had the tongue of an angel, we could not describe the glory and the bliss of the saints in heaven. Yes. What will it be like to get there? Sometimes here below we have wonderful times with God in our private times, in our meetings, and the Lord draws near, and our hearts burn within us. And we feel the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. And it's such a wonderful experience. What will it be when we get home to heaven? Some old saints, they're living in sweet anticipation of that. I heard a story, a bit of a humorous story, I thought, where this dear lady, she was a big age now, and she went out to a Sunday meeting. It wasn't a Free Presbyterian church, but she went out to the Sunday meeting, and she was a saved lady, and she took a heart attack in the meeting, and there was a nurse there, and the nurse ran over and resuscitated her and kept her alive till the ambulance got there and got her into the hospital, and she recovered. So the nurse went to see her. She thought she'd be glad to see her. After all, she'd saved her life. The old saint looked up at her and said, "Oh, it was you." She says, "I was halfway to heaven and you brought me back." Oh, I'll tell you, it'll be wonderful when time's up. I know we don't like the thought of death. Nobody does. That's unnatural to enjoy the idea of death. That's unnatural. Death is not a natural thing. God never intended us to die in the first place. If it hadn't been for sin, we'd never have died. But nevertheless, as I think it was R.C. Sproul, he was asked, he was very ill, he's passed away. R.C. Sproul was asked, "Was he afraid of dying?" He says, "Well, I'm afraid of the process of dying, but I'm not afraid of what happens after that. I'm looking forward to heaven." And we're all like that. So it'll be a wonderful time when time's up for the saint. Just a bit like Enoch, you know. Enoch was walking with God one day, and God said, "Well, come home with me, Enoch. You come on home with me." God took him home. So he does with the saints when their time on earth is finished. But oh, dear sinner friend, what will this eternity be for you? Again, as we cannot fathom or comprehend or understand the bliss of the glorified, neither can we understand the misery of the lost sinner in hell, the remorse that they will feel for time wasted, opportunities missed, the despair they will feel, not to mention the endless sufferings. Now, I believe that hell is a literal place, and I believe in a literal fire and all that, literal physical sufferings in eternity. But I think the chiefest suffering of hell is when we realize we're abandoned by God. Have you ever thought of the cross work of Calvary? Have you ever thought of the sufferings of the Savior? I trust you have. But the Lord never complained when they ripped the beard of his face, when they spat in his face, when they beat him beyond all recognition, when they ripped his back into deep furrows, when they nailed him to the cross, when they lifted that cross and dropped it into its socket and every bone was jolted out of place. He never complained about his physical sufferings. But whenever God made his soul an offering for sin, what did he cry? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there's the essence of hell, to be forsaken of God. So shall it be for the soul that dies without Christ. It's not ready when God calls time up. You'll be lost for all eternity. Oh, there's no purgatory. No such thing. That's an invention of man, the invention of the papacy. It's not in God's book. Where the tree falls, there it will lie. There's no way of working your way out of hell. No way that you can suffer the flames of purgatory for such a length of time and eventually make it to heaven. No, sir, it's all over. The gates of hell will never be opened for the soul that is lost. Time up. Surely this teaches us the folly of wasting time. Christian, how are you spending your time? Maybe the thing you're doing isn't a wicked thing in itself, but it's not doing much good either. It's just wasting time. The Bible says, redeem the time. Buy it back. Give every fleeting moment, says the hymn writer, something to keep in store. You know, when I retired, people said to me, how are you enjoying retirement? I was a wee bit embarrassed. Because the truth is, I don't enjoy retirement. I don't want to retire and put my feet up and measle my shins at the fire, as he used to say. I want to be busy for the Lord. I don't want to rust out. I want to burn out. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not retired. Don't intend to retire as long as God gives me strength and health and God enables me to preach. Whoever asks me to preach, wherever they ask me to preach, no matter how small the meeting will be, I'll be there by the grace of God. Don't waste your time. Look at your use of time, Christian. What are you doing with it? Put it to good use. Good use. Remembering the word which tells you to redeem the time. Sinner, unsaved friend, how foolish you have been in wasting so much precious time. How old are you now? How long have you lived without Christ? How many gospel meetings have you sat in? Many opportunities have you had to get saved? And you've wasted them all. You'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow. Someday I'll get saved. That's what you're, and you're wasting your time, you're wasting the opportunity. But if God says time up tonight, you're not saved. You'll not have another opportunity. Wasting so much precious time. I remember a dear man, he came to his 70th birthday. I used to think 70 was a big age. I don't think so now. But anyway, he was 70, and I remember, I'll never forget him saying it some years ago. Instead of, he wasn't celebrating his 70th birthday. He said, 70? Who wants to be 70? You know why he wasn't saved? He's looking back on 70 wasted years. Thank God he got saved before the end, before time was up. But a wasted life. Oh, young people, if there's any with us, don't waste your life. There are some. Most of you, you're all young. Give your time to Jesus. Use your life for him. If you're not saved in this meeting, take this opportunity. Still time. Still a day of grace. God in mercy is reaching out to you again. Be thankful for the time you've received. Make good use of it tonight. Get your heart and life right. In case the Lord should call you or come to the skies, be ready. Remember, we all must give an account before Almighty God. Make sure you're able to give a good account. God is able to restore, you know, the years that the locusts have eaten. Maybe you're looking back and you're mourning tonight, wasted years. But God can give you more fruitful years. or make what time you have left more fruitful than all the time that has gone before. Oh, flee to Jesus. Run to the foot of the old rugged cross. Repent of your sin, confess your sin, and plead for cleansing from sin through the precious blood of the Lamb. And you shall be cleansed and clean and washed and saved and regenerated and justified and made fit for heaven. And then go out and serve him with whatever time God has allotted you and whatever time may be left. You know, this day of grace has been a long day. It's a long day. I believe it commenced way back there in Eden's garden. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned and God called them to account, and then he clothed them and he gave them this promise of a seed that would bruise the serpent's head. That was the promise of a Savior. The day of grace began back then. There are disagreements over how long ago that was. 5, 6, 7,000 years? I don't know. It's hard to just pinpoint it. It's a long time anyway. And all through these years, that day of grace has continued and continues till now. We're still in it. This gospel day, this day of opportunity. Do you know, it's been so long that we read in the book of Revelation that the saints that have been martyred, they grow weary. Say, how long, O Lord? How long? How long are you going to let this go on? But you see, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should have time to repent. But you know what's gone on, and God in his mercy and his love and his grace has spurred us and continued to hold out his offer of mercy to us so long that even the world is beginning to say, where is this sign of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. In other words, he's not coming at all. It's going to go on forever. It's been a long time. But I tell you, though it's long, it's limited, and it will have an end, and only God knows when it will end. Are you ready? Listen, now is the accepted time. Now, today is the day of salvation. Tonight there's a fountain open for sin and uncleanness in the house of David. A full, free pardon for sin, perfect salvation, is available to you tonight. But how long it'll be available, only God knows. I counsel you to be wise, to consider your latter end, to remember your mortality, to remember that one day God will say for you and to you, time up. May you take the opportunity tonight to come to Christ and be saved. May God enable you to do so for his name's sake. Amen. 250